Now, you're involved, well, the AMA classically has been involved in so very many ways with so very many government organizations. I know that you guys have worked with the FCC. I can remember way back in the dawn of time when we used to have six channels for radio control, not including the ham bands. You guys went and got us more channels, and now you work with the FCC on the 2.4 gigahertz stuff. What's coming down the pipeline? What new developments are the modelers going to experience in the next, say, 5-10 years?
Well, you know, I think we advocate, as you say, through with many government agencies, the FAA, the FCC, Homeland Security. The change in the radio systems in just the last 5 years alone is another reason that model aviation is becoming so popular. Like you say, it used to be we had a limited number of frequencies that had the ability to create interference between each other, and we had to be careful about that. We had this frequency system to make sure that didn't happen. And when 2.4 megahertz came around a couple of years ago, all of that went away. Today, our radios work very similar to cell phones or cordless phones at home, and there are no interference issues. So people today can buy this equipment, put it in their airplane, and fly it knowing that it's safe and they won't have issues. Our biggest challenge probably over the next few years is going to be with the FAA. And as you know, the small unmanned aircraft systems, UAVs, are becoming very popular. And the FAA needs to find a way to integrate SUAS into the national airspace system. And that's what they're working on right now. Because technically a model airplane is a UAV, we're in talks with the FAA and trying to find a way to integrate and assimilate model airplanes into this regulatory process without becoming overly onerous for us as modelers.
Yeah, that would be a tremendous problem if the FAA just suddenly said, well, you guys can't fly anymore. I'm sure there would be a lot of people that still would fly. It just may not be at the organized fields and everything. I mean, if you got a park flyer, for crying out loud, and you got a 2-acre backyard, you're going to say, FAA, we don't need no stinking FAA.
And you know, and they realize that. Fortunately, the FAA isn't saying you can't fly anymore. They're saying, let's find a way to do this to make sure that everybody's operating safely in the national airspace.
That's what they want. That's what their concern is safety. Over the years, of course, we've had some people do things with model airplanes that they shouldn't necessarily be doing. And, you know, these are the people that we've got to watch out for. I mean, as a park flyer, I know, see and avoid, stay away from full-scale aircraft at all costs. But when you're flying a Vapor, which is a very, very light little airplane, it's hard to get in the way of air traffic when you're 12 feet off the ground.
I think it is. And fortunately, the FAA recognizes this. And I don't think that the Vapors, the small electrics, anything under the 2-pound size is going to be caught up in the regulatory process.
But no, the FAA is going to pretty much ignore that. They're going to say, all right, they're there, they're not a problem.
Well, I think they also realize that, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of modelers out there that have gotten involved with these small models that we're talking about, and they don't have the manpower, the resources, or the funding to regulate that type of activity.
And that's where the AMA comes in, because you guys step up to the plate and say, hey, we can handle this. This is our bailiwick. We can cover this for you.
Exactly. And they're looking to us not to be an enforcement arm of the FAA, but to help modelers fly within the confines of the regulations that are being developed.
We want to make sure that we're safe and that we're having fun.
Well, as a full-scale pilot, you know, I understand the need for safety in the national airspace system, and as a modeler, I recognize that as well. And I think most modelers do. And you know, our number one premise, just like you mentioned earlier, is see and avoid. Everything in the national airspace system, the number one premise is see and avoid. And,
exactly.
And that's what we do as modelers.
Yep.
And we also, there's right-of-way rules, and a modeler, a good modeler, will always yield the right-of-way to anything else flying in the national airspace.
As the former manager of the Alpha Squadron Air Show team, and I'm sure you've heard of us, we had a couple of incidents where we had pilots that had to deliberately crash an airplane to avoid a scenario. One of them, a good friend of mine, took a very expensive model of a GB on a crosswind day, got all crossed up, was heading toward a line of parked aircraft, and decided there's no way I'm getting out of this pretty. And he pushed the stick over. He nosed the airplane into the ground. The good news was that everybody, the spectators, the aircraft, all the flyers, were all safe. The bad news was he had to repair the airplane, which he eventually did and got it back in the air. But not once did he ever say that he did the wrong thing.
Well, and I don't think he did.
No, he did. He did it by the book.
You know, and it's very important to recognize that when we fly in front of spectators, just like at any air show, and you know, as a member of an air show team, that we fly in front of air shows that could have hundreds of thousands of spectators.
Oh yeah.
And nobody likes to crash a model airplane, but it happens, and you need to make sure that no matter what we do, we recognize that safety is our first priority.
We used to fly out at the Willow Grove Naval Air Station there, and we had strict no-fly zones. And this was from the military. And I know at one show we had, I think it was the Blue Angels there. They were very strict about no-fly zones. And, of course, as the manager, I laid it all out. I said, we had an aerial diagram posted on our equipment trailer, said, do not fly here, do not fly here, do not fly there. Other than that, have a good time. You still got a couple hundred thousand square feet of airspace to play with. And the Navy never said a word, so we knew we did it right. We sure tried.
Well, and I think that's, you know, again, safety is our first priority. And when we participate in these air shows, you know, we subscribe to the same rules that are defined for the full-scale air show pilots. So we all fly within that established box, and that established box was defined for the reason of safety.
Well, now let me ask you this. I recently heard that in Canada they have basically grounded model airplanes at full-scale air shows. Is there any danger of that happening in this country?
I don't think so. They had an incident up there a couple of years ago where there was an accident at a full-scale air show, and it was where a model had hit a full-scale aircraft on the ground. So there was no spectators involved at all, but there was some damage done to the full-scale aircraft, and of course the model was destroyed. And because of that, it was the AMA equivalent, the Modelers Association in Canada, Aeronautical Association of Canada, that created that rule. So it wasn't Transport Canada.
Okay, so it was the Canadian equivalent of the AMA that said no more.
Exactly. And again, as an air show team member, you know that we have a structured system of air show teams that are very qualified to fly at these events. They go through a training program. They have to qualify with their piloting abilities. They're aware of the safety concerns that are involved with all air shows. And they work within those confines, and it's a very safe activity for us.
Well, the air show environment's also very stressful, too. I know as being assistant manager, announcer, and then swinging into manager, it can be a handful. You really have a lot there that can bite you. But if you brief everybody before you go up, and you lay out where the fly and no-fly zones are, and then everybody's, you know, spotters are watching, because things change in a New York minute. You have to be aware of it, because somebody could be coming in. I know that when we were at Willow Grove, we always had communication with the tower. I had my aviation handheld with me there at all times. And I also had a radio to communicate with our ramp boss, with our air boss, so that we were able to say, look, we've got a problem. Somebody's bringing an airplane in. We need to get on the deck now. And it always worked for us. We always had a good time.
And I think that's right. And you know, as modelers, we have the luxury, if there's something that encroaches on the airspace that we're in and we need to get out of it, it's a pretty simple process. You know, you pull the throttle back and we're on the ground in a matter of seconds. And again, it's all about seeing a void, regardless of where you're flying. If you're just out flying at a Sunday afternoon and it's your local model airplane field, or if you're at an air show, or any time a model is flying in the airspace, we need to subscribe to the same rules that everybody else does.
Yeah, we do. Obviously, there's a lot of things in model aviation that can bite you if you're not careful. And, of course, in the magazine that you guys have, there's always that safety comes first column, and there's always somebody coming up with a new way of getting into trouble.
Well, it's pretty unique, some of those things that have happened to our members. And But that column is written by Dave Gee, and he does a great job of making our members aware of where the potential risks are. I think as a risk management initiative, when we hear things about this, you know, our intent is to make other members aware of it in hopes that they'll recognize, hey, maybe I shouldn't be doing this, and avoid something similar happening to them.
Yeah, there have always been some scenarios with model airplanes that I have preferred to avoid in my earlier years of flying glow fuel powered models. I was always very careful around that propeller because that thing will bite you. And I never liked watching guys who had somebody holding their airplane, or they were holding their airplane and they're actually leaning over the prop arc while they're tweaking their mixtures. That to me was just a recipe for disaster. And that was one of the things I always avoided. I was always behind my aircraft just in case. And unfortunately, I have seen people come to grief with that.
No, it only takes once to learn that lesson.
Yeah, and, that's for sure.
You know, I'm a longtime modeler, and I'm like you. You know, I'm very careful and safety conscious when I start my models and start my engines. And you just have to be aware all the time. And it's no different than full scale aviation. You know, you know when I get in my airplane, my full scale airplane, I have a checklist that I go through. I do a pre-flight inspection. Same thing with a model.
Yep, exactly. You got to keep that plane well maintained, and you got to know what you're doing. And because if you don't, things happen, and it's not cool. Now, with the explosion of park flyers and everything, people are getting more and more into this, and I'm sure you're hearing more and more stories about people flying airplanes in their backyards, which is great. Now, doesn't the AMA have a new publication out strictly for park flying people?
We do. We have a magazine called Park Pilot Magazine. It's in its second year now, and it's become incredibly popular. And what it does is it focuses on small electric RC models that typically you would fly in a schoolyard, a soccer field, a local park somewhere.
Heck, even your backyard. My brother's got 2 acres there, and we'll take the Sukhois out, and we'll just putter around the sky with those things.
Well, backyards, and I have to tell you, I have a little RC helicopter I fly in my living room.
So, yep, me too.
My wife doesn't appreciate that all the time when I run into the lamps and the television and a few other things, but when she's not around, I get a lot of flights in.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, you can sit there in your favorite chair with your favorite program on TV. During the commercials, you're out there hovering.
That's right.
I will admit I'm guilty as charged on that, too. But that's another great thing about the park flyers. Some of these things are so small that you literally can fly them indoors. At Warbirds over Delaware, just a few weeks ago, there was a guy out there with one of the airplanes made by Plantraco, I forget how you pronounce it, carbon butterfly. Mm-hmm. The wingspan on that was 3 inches.
Actually, I've got one, and my wife bought it for me, so she's a great supporter of mine. But it's a great airplane to fly in small gyms. You can fly it. You can fly it around your house if you've got a big enough room. But you know, we do a lot of indoor flying, and I travel quite a bit. And it's great to be able to have a model airplane that you can have in a briefcase size case and take it with you wherever you go.
Yeah, I've always thought that was would be one of the cool things, because I used to go to the ICAST conventions, and there was always somebody out there there was always a couple of RC planes or helicopters floating around out there, and I thought it would have been pretty cool to take it out there. As a matter of fact, I saw Skip Stewart out there one time flying an RC helicopter at ICAST, and it was a good time. He's pretty skilled with it too.
Yeah.
He borrowed one off of John Moore, and they had a good time. So, but what's in the future of the AMA? What do you guys have working in the pipeline right now that's going to benefit all of us modelers?
Well, I think in the pipeline, and next year of course is our 75th anniversary, and we're pretty excited about that. And you know, there's going to be some celebrations going on, and we're going to invite all folks out to the National Flying Site in Muncie next year. There's going to be some fly-ins and flying events going on, and we hope that all our members have an opportunity to come out, see their facility, see the National Model Aviation Museum, and take part in this celebration. You know, AMA has been around almost as long as flying has been around, and we've got a long storied history, and we'd like to share it with everybody.
Sounds like a plan. And when is this going down?
Well, tentative dates right now is the celebration will be going on between July 14th and 17th. And there's a lot of activities. We're in the process right now of building the agenda for that week. And you'll hear more about that in our other magazine, Model Aviation, and on our website.
What is your website?
Website is modelaircraft.org.
Okay. We've been talking to Dave Mathewson here, president of the Academy of Model Aeronautics. And I'm Fast Eddie, and you're listening to EAA Radio.